This is the 2008 Labor Day Conference, given in Columbus, Ohio. This is Message 1, spoken by Titus Chu on August 30th, 2008.
I think the Lord has mercy, as He always has. We have this conference. This topic was not decided by me. This topic was decided by the brochure. Then I realized this is what I ought to share. Then I began to cry out to the Lord. You know why? Because I would say Joshua is one of the deepest book in the Bible. It's not at all easy to understand. It's not at all easy to apprehend. And the young people like fight, like to cross the rivers. Young people like to declare, as for me, and my house, even though you don't have a house yet, we will serve Jehovah. And the older ones who already have a house will say, as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah halfly. Is that English? And the older one will say, as for me and my house, we are not able to serve Jehovah. You know why? Because serving is really a hard thing. And talking about Christ's crossover Jordan, talking about overcome Jericho, Ai, Gibeon, and we all feel excited. Praise the Lord. The Lord is doing marvelous things, doing with marvelous victories, and we are with the Lord, and the Lord is with us. This is marvelous. On the other hand, when I began to prepare for these messages yesterday afternoon. So you have to know I was pretty uncomfortable. Yesterday afternoon, there's no more choice. I know that I got to prepare what to share. I tried to find the easy way, in what way I can make it most simple, that you all would enjoy it, you'll like it. After your word, you all would say, hallelujah, that is really a good conference. Even though that may not last with you very long. So, tell you honestly, I feel I shouldn't lie to you. I should be very honest to speak to you what is really involved to that marvelous statement. As for me and my household, and we will serve the Lord, or we will serve Jehovah. This is marvelous. Am I right? So you have to consider, that is the end of Joshua's day. That was not the beginning of Joshua's day. The beginning of Joshua's day, he doesn't even know who he is. But by Lord's mercy, he was committed to Christ and committed to the Lord and committed to the testimony of the Lord. Because of that, he was able to begin his life with a marvelous fight. That is a fight against Amalek and destroy them. You know, this is marvelous. That is a beginning. So let's say this. If we consider his life in four stages, we have five meetings, right? I look at the brochure, Joshua and Caleb. So we have four meetings on Joshua. One meeting on Caleb. There's not much with Caleb. But with Joshua, that's not at all easy. Why? The first stage is his commitment. The second stage is his learning. The third stage is his manifestation. The fourth stage is his ruling. In other words, he rules with our God, our Lord. He become the ruler of Israelites, representing Christ over the church. So this is a very, very marvelous. You say, how many meetings we need to cover all these things? I say 300 meetings. So how many meetings we can cover these riches? I say four meetings. So basically, I hope afterward, number one, your concept can be changed a little. Realizing to follow the Lord, to serve the Lord, is not at all as what you think. We can do something. We can make it. I usually ask the brothers, you want to make what? You know, we say, we make it. Praise the Lord. We can make it. One day, a brother so depressed in the parking lot, he was lift up his hand shouting, I can't make it. I feel funny. You want to make what? You see, our young people says, we can make it. Let's rise up. Let's overcome. Let's get things done. The Lord is on our side. These are all true. These are all true. But remember that the Lord is on all the Jesus lover side. And the Lord is on even all the Jesus non-lover side. But they're Christians. And the Lord is even on the Gentile side. Remember there's a verse, God gives the rain to what? To the righteous and to the unrighteous. Am I right? So, in other words, the Lord is on everybody's side. The only thing is, do you know how to take him so that he can really manifest, testify, he is on your side. Now you realize nothing is easy now. Am I right? So now, let's come to the message we need to cover. We need to cover this message on Joshua. We have to begin with God, Moses, and Joshua. Do you get my point? Because it is God who initiates, begins the whole thing. Joshua didn't have a dream to follow Moses. Moses didn't have a dream, let's go to a good land of Canaan, right? There's all this initiate with God. Just like we are saved. Who initiate? God. We love the Lord. Who initiate? God. We consecrate ourselves. Who initiate? God. We daily living, fighting with Christ. Who initiate? God. Do you realize? God is an initiator. And God is the one who carries what he initiated. So we have the first question now. Why God do all these things? You know, today, this is a generation, I would say a third, just in the last 40, 50 years. 50 years ago, the more child, the better. Am I right? 30 years ago, one or two is the best. Today, you know, many young people says, we don't want to have any kids. Do you realize that? That's a trend. That's not just with one young people or two. Many, many young professional, highly educated, with high income, they said, we don't want any kids. You ask him why? His human life is too hard. It is not fair to give a life on this earth. This is very different with the young lady McCain Chose as his vice president. Remember? That young lady, I'm surprised, you know, even doctor told her, your son or daughter would have Down syndrome, and her answer is, I treasure life. Therefore, I will still let this boy come to this earth, or girl come to this earth, and live his life. This is somewhat an understanding of God's way. God desires life. God desires life to be on this earth. And God desires life to have Jesus Christ. And God desires life to be committed to Jesus Christ. And God desires living beings living a life totally one with Christ, with God's desire. God will say, do you know, if anyone is non-existing, so he cannot be called anyone. So there's nothing to talk about. If someone is born, the highest quality is that he can become a Christian. And among the Christians, the higher quality is they can love the Lord. And among Jesus' lovers, the higher quality is they can give themselves to the Lord. Among those who give themselves to the Lord, the highest quality is they stand one with Lord in God's purpose, in God's economy, in God's doing, in God's operation, in whatever God has in his heart. Now, he attained the highest of the meaning of existence of human life. So, brothers, first you got to ask the question now, why Joshua need to rise up? Why Joshua need to cross over the river of Jordan? Why Joshua need to fight? Basically, he's a fighter. He fought all his life. Why Joshua need to fight like this all his life? Because God made it very clear to the Israelites. The verse is somewhat like this. Could I read to you? That is Exodus 19. Chapter 19, verses 4. The word says, the Lord Jehovah told Moses, ye have seen what I did unto Egyptians. We don't have time for that, right? There's 10 plague, right? That come upon Egyptians. And how I bear you, or bore you, is the same word, right? I'm ancient, old man, so I read bear you. And you young man read bore you. But bore you, bear you, we bear bore by God. You know, that's marvelous. Eagle's wind. In other words, I didn't lead you. You have to understand, this basic declaration of Jehovah is very much against our concept, our mind. Our concept is, oh, he leads me. Our concept, oh, he carries me. That's deeper than leads me. Our concepts, I am one with him, and he is one with me. And I tell you, God's word is very simple. No, you didn't do a thing. I put you on my back and fly up, you're in the sky. That's it. Do you get my point or not? You think, I'm going to pay a price. You know, sometimes you get married, you got the same thing, right? He knows, you know, you love that girl. You know that girl loves you. You know if you tell that girl, would you marry me? That girl will be more than happy, and you will be more than happy. The only problem is you refuse to say, would you love me? So you keep on in your bedroom, think about her with a few drops of tears, have a lot of self-pity, and without realizing, actually it's a fact. You know, God's word is very simple. Why are you today? Let me tell you, I bore you. Oh, I bear you, right? I bear you on my wing, eagle's wing. In other words, you are not coming up high by yourself. You are not overcoming the frustrations, the difficulties, the limitations, the hardships on this earth. You are in the heavenlies because I bear you on eagle's wings. I brought you to a successful spiritual future. What version is that? That may be Titus' version. Because Titus wants to have a successful spiritual future. So when I give myself to the Lord, I like to tell the Lord, now the Lord, Jesus Christ, I love you. I give my life to you. So I have my future in you. Then make me successful in my serving life. I tell you, no. The Lord brought you up and bring you unto God himself. Amen. You know, young girl, you. The first time I saw her was in the meeting in the church in Hebron High. She was singing. At that time, I was not so used to that part yet. I look at the few microphones with my old tradition. I said, what are they doing there? Then they begin to sing some song. There are two parts, really enjoyable. And today, you still carry the major singing. Wow, her voice is really beautiful. I think you love the Lord, I hope at least. Do you really love the Lord? Or love the singing?
I enjoy
So one day the Lord tell you, don't sing on microphone. Just love me. Would that be okay? Yeah. Rex, have you heard it? You know, brother, she really did well this morning. Wow, the first time I told Paul Nider, I said, wow, we have a good singer among us. The way he handled every syllable was so clear in her singing. Very good. You know, God did one thing. You have a good voice. I gave it to you. But I carry you up. I bring you into the heavenly realm. In the heavenly realm, I only have one purpose. I brought you unto myself. You know, brother, I like this verse. Do you realize? Try to do too much for the Lord. I don't think it works. Try to serve so much, which is precious, but I don't think that's high value. There are countless Christians serving there, fighting, struggling to do something for Christ, to gain a large congregation. Eventually, brother, there's no value. There's no value. If I can tell you this, when Watchman Nee died, martyred for the Lord, in 1972, there were 60,000 Christians serving by him. That when he was alive, 60,000 Christians serving by him. Today, after 35 years, there are 6 million to 8 million. This is my very, very conservative statistic. Stand on the local church ground, fighting for the Lord's testimony, fighting for the Lord's interest in mainland China. More than 100-fold. Yet in the process, you don't even know he did what. Today, we try too hard. Do you realize? God desires to bear us on his wing, to carry us into the divine and mystical heavenly realm. Then what? Our focus is just unto himself. Why, in traveling in mainland China many times, after I traveled that many times, I began to meet all kind of Christians, especially I met many, many Christians affected, influenced, received Watchman Nee's ministry. I give a simple statistics. There were at least 6 million. This is very, very conservative. And there might be over 8 million. More than 100-fold in 30 some years. And Watchman is gone. You know what I mean? When he's not there, nothing he can do. He died. He martyred in the name of the Lord for the Lord's sake. Then, aren't you surprised? 100-fold come out. Only in 35 years. You know, today people says, what land spread over, what yard spread all over, what spread over. I usually laugh. Brother, be clear. That is childish work, children's work. You respect every Christian preaching the Lord, preaching the gospel. You honor every Christian serves the Lord. But you must know God's way is that I want to bring you to myself. And how I bring you to myself, I'm the one carry you into this divine mystical realm. I'm the one carry you into the heavenly places for you to enjoy myself alone. As for the work, don't worry. That's my job. You know when Brother Lee was martyred? He was poisoned. If I can say that, I think it's okay today to say it. Poisoned by the brother who testified how he served Brother Lee. And his word is very simple. Why poison him? If I don't kill him, somebody will kill him. And I will be in trouble. Brother, you don't wash your hand like that to make yourself clean. No. You have no excuse. You don't. Well, Lord, cover me. You don't go that far. But anyway, when Brother Lee died, when Brother Nee died, I was wondering what kind of psychology he has. Right before he died, he wrote a letter, right? I keep the joy in my spirit. And he wrote a letter that I like to go out. I will be discharged. Could you find a house? And he wrote a letter to the family. I know you are short of food, but I eat very little. Can you receive me? Could you believe? He will put to that place. He will put into such hardship. Could you believe in that? But I don't know what is psychology. When I read the letter he wrote, I keep the joy in my spirit. Right? I appreciate it. I had a salt joy with the presence of Christ. More than that, now I begin to see. At that time he realized, I can be away by the revelation the Lord has given me. The ministry the Lord has given me. The truth the Lord has unveiled through me. The local church ground will become, and Christ and the local church will become the base for the testimony to continue. After 30 some years, could you believe? One day I met some brother. I didn't ask the number. Usually I don't do that. But that brother took me to the airport. We're very nice, young brother. He said, you know, we are in fellowship with 2.5 million Christians. I look at him. You? Do you get my point or not? You are just one of the brothers. But do you realize eventually what develops everything? Not your method, but the truth you have. If you know how to lay hold on the truth you have, Lord will bless it. 8 million people, 6 to 8 million people, but all these are my guessing. You know, I'm not at all surprised. Could be even more than 8 million Christians stand on the local church ground bearing the testimony of the Lord. And the Lord bless them. They didn't try very hard, but the Lord was very much with them because they go based on truth and not based on method. Do you get my points? Do you need method? You do. You do. However, from the beginning you realize that God has brought us out. Brought us of what? Number one, put us into the heavenly place. So we are on eagle's wings. Number two, so we can be brought to God himself. Our enjoyment is God. Our focus is God. Our topic is God. Our insistence is God. Our preaching is God. We have nothing else but today we use the word Jesus Christ. Am I right? Then, because there is such a group of people, then now I can tell you, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, you were brought to me, please listen to me, and keep my covenant. You know, at that time, actually, there's no covenant. So covenant will come out later, right? But keep my covenant. What is a covenant? Covenant is God himself revealed. Am I right? God himself revealed. Then he said, if you can keep the covenant, that means keep focus on me. Covenant reveals God. Then what? You keep the covenant. You focus on God. Then three things will happen. Number one, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. This is a King James. If you don't like it, you shall be a personal treasure unto me from among the people. This is a profound word. Why? God loves the whole world. Right? Every human being God loves. But among all those God loves, God exalts or handpicked a group of people. They are the Israelites in the Old Testament. In New Testament, they are the church. These Israelites in the Old Testament, the church in the New Testament, they become a peculiar treasure from what? Unto me, from away all people. Do you get my point or not? Let me ask you, are you in high school? Yeah. You're in college. You have classes.
Not right now, I'm in a 10-month labor.
Yeah, but if you go back, you'll have classes.
Yeah.
You will be in the midst of 30 people. And they all look like you, right? Maybe a few Chinese or Korean. But they all look like you. But even Chinese look like you. We all have the same face, even though different color, right? And some Chinese look just as white. And some white look very Chinese. So, really. But you realize God will say, I love the whole class. I love the whole class. Because I love everyone. Preach gospel to them. They need gospel. But God will speak to you. You are very special to me. Do you get my point? I love the whole class. Or I love the whole community. Or I love the whole city. But among them, you are a peculiar, a personal treasure. You are my personal treasure. In other words, you stand out. You are special. You are my personal treasure unto me, from above all people. From all people, above all people. Do you get my point? So you tell your schoolmates, Jan, I'm above you. You're based on what? Based on God. Until you are a believer, then you are closer to me. Until you are Jesus' lover, then you are you're intimate with me. Until you give yourself, as I do, to bear God's testimony, then we all become a peculiar people of the Lord. Isn't that marvelous? God says, I call you. Why I call you? Not to make you happy. I call you so that what? So that you can become a peculiar treasure or personal treasure from above all people, for all the earth is mine. And then, secondly, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. You shall live a life. What kind of life? Serving life. With whom? With all the other brothers serving together. In the Old Testament, there's a priesthood. In the New Testament, there's brothers serving. In the Old Testament, we call it the church life. In the Old Testament, God gained a group of priests. In the New Testament, God gained us all. To what? To have a church life to serve him. We are a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. What is nation? Nation is a testimony. I'm very happy. I speak for China now. Yeah, please have mercy. Try your best to understand me. China, for 100 years, cannot breathe too much because in 1842, the Opium War, that's really an ugly war. You know, British and the French came in and forced Chinese to buy opiums. That was terrible, but Chinese got so defeated. After that, Chinese never dared to lift up their head. When they are with other people, they always feel they are, what is the word?
Inferior.
Yeah, they're inferior. Until this Olympic, do you like it? Even there's a lot of things fake, later we found out. The girl singing is fake. The steps walking to the Olympic stadium is fake. But they made it, right? And they got 51 gold medals. You're kidding. Even though all the gold medals are on techniques and not on strength. Do you get my point there? The real Olympic is strength. But Chinese don't have the strength, right? So they learn all the things that are skillful. And because they're so skillful, so they beat so many countries. And they grow up with it. Do you know that? Since their primary school, they got into this kind of athletic primary school, then got athletic high school, then athletic college. All their life is in this and nothing else. That's why they get gold medals. But whatever that is, afterward, Chinese stood up. I'm Chinese. What that? All of a sudden, this nation become different with just a couple months ago. Do you get my point? Even a couple months ago, people talk about Chinese. Is anything good come out from China? How about their human right? How about their what? I went to mainland. I ministered in one congregation. I told them, I said, you got to take care of this congregation. I said, in Olympic time, a lot of foreigners will come. The government didn't hear what I say. Maybe the pastor, the leading one, do not have the guts to pass the word up. So they build a few chapels to show they allow people to have a freedom of religion. They build 10,000 people gathering Catholic churches. They build 5,000 people gatherings Christian churches. I tell you, but eventually Bush said, I like to go to that place. That's the place I ministered. So bad, when Bush was there, I wasn't their minister. But when I heard it, I said, I told them again and again, take care of your congregation, take care of your appearance, because the foreigners are come. You see, now Bush come. Why? Bush, no. That is a church raised up by Watchman Nee. Could you believe in that? They go to local. You know, this is a local people. You're Chinese raised up. Do you get my point? But, of course, the truth is not Chinese. The truth is universal, isn't it? So what Watchman Nee shown us is universal. But start in China. So Bush went to that congregation purposely to preach, to listen to the message and share some word. One of the key words he shared, I really appreciate, is don't be afraid of Christians. That's the main word. You know why? Because 200 years ago, missionary come with soldiers. Do you get my point? Missionary come to preach gospel. Mainly from Ohio area, from Cleveland, from Oberlin. Do you know how many ministers martyred from Oberlin? I think 20, 30. 18. 18 martyred just from that area. There's a monument there with the name how they were killed to barbarian rebellious. They martyred Christians. But at that time, a minister come, then who else followed, and wow. How many time we have? You know, brother, a nation is a testimony. Amen. Do you get my point? Chinese was despised. Now Chinese may still be despised. And I heard they tried their best. Before Olympics, they told people, don't. Tutana, how to say that? Huh? Don't spit on the... You know, when I was in mainland, this is the thing. Every time I heard, I get very nervous because I don't know what's come up. Then you go a few more steps. You're even on the elevator, a few people. Then you're... Lord Jesus, how can you honor that country? Do you get my point? But I heard before Olympic, they made the public education. You don't do that anymore. So the street become very clean. Hallelujah. Hey, brothers, let me ask you. If China needs a testimony, America needs a testimony, Africa, Uganda needs a testimony, how about God? Amen. Our thought is very funny, right? God doesn't need anything. He has everything. What he need? He need us to go out, preach people so they can be saved. No, God also need a testimony. Amen. That's why there's Joshua. He is raised up for God's testimony. How God called that? God called that a holy nation. Amen. Holy. A testimony of holiness. A testimony of God. Then in the New Testament we'll say a testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ also needs a testimony. So God said, I bring you out. Really, you are a personal treasure, my personal treasure. And really, you are from above the people among you. Am I right? So you are higher. Then I call you out to be a kingdom of priests. In the New Testament, we will say to have the church life. Then more than what? The holy nation. That is what? To have a testimony of God. Because only God is holy. You know, brother, how good that is. People walk into the meeting, quickly they realize, here is Christ. Here is Christ. They walk into the meeting, quickly they understand, Christ is here with us. You know, brother, if you have these, this is marvelous. Then these are the words which thou shalt speak unto children of Israel. In the New Testament, we say, these are the words which Titus, you should learn to speak to all the saints. Am I right? Three things. Number one, you are his personal treasure. Number two, you have a church life. Number three, you bear a holy testimony, a testimony of Christ. Do you get my points, brother? These become a base of the Joshua come into being. This is number one. Number two, when Moses was led by God, that's interesting, right? Two persons were mentioned in the wilderness. One is Moses, one is Aaron. Remember, God says, if you don't know how to speak, your brother knows how to speak. So he tried. He got Aaron. Eventually, Aaron didn't say much, right? All the speaking is still by Moses. But at the same time, we don't know. There's no record in the Bible. Moses picked up two persons. One from the tribe of Judah. Which tribe is Joshua?
Ephraim.
Ephraim, right? Okay, Ephraim. So, see, he picked up one from tribe of Judah. His name is H-U-R. Her. Hur. Let's argue who or her. But anyway, there's a man. He was from tribe of Judah. And Moses picked him up. Then another person he picked up was Joshua. Joshua's old name was what? Was Hosea. Is that Hosea? Hosea. Then Ho. Moses replaced with J. Hosea means salvation. Joshua means Jehovah is the salvation. Hosea means be saved. And Joshua means Jehovah saves. Do you get my point? So he did two things. I meet my brother Aaron, so we began to serve. But I have to pick up two most capable men. One is, I believe, quite old, like elder. One is comparatively young. How young? I think maybe 35, 40. There's no age. There could be 35, 40. So he picked up an older one. His name's Her. He picked up a younger one. His name's Hosea. And he changed his name to Joshua. One take care of all the practical things with him. One take care of, like executive or chief executive. One take care of the fighting army. That's Joshua. This is why you young people love Joshua, because you don't want to be her. Number one, the name is too feminine. Am I right? Number two, he only take care of practical matters. Remember, when Moses was on the mountain, he told the elders, if you have any questions, any things you cannot decide, come to Aaron and her. See, these are the chief executive take care of Israel's practical matters. Right? But commander-in-chief is Joshua. He picked up Joshua. All right. So, now Joshua come into existence. The two things marked with Joshua, very clear. The first thing is, he come into existence with a full commitment. And he gained the victory by doing nothing. Remember these two things, that you got to learn. When you first love the Lord, you say, Lord, I like to give myself to you. That's a full commitment. Then Lord will bring you to victory by you doing nothing. Do you get my point or not? Even you don't understand, how can I be so victorious? How can I be so overcoming? When I first saved, I preached gospel. It was interesting. Huh? I see people, you need to believe in Jesus. He will say, yes, I need to believe in Jesus. Today I tell people, you need to believe in Jesus. He said, go away. Same God. You know what I mean? Same government. But when I was young, as the age of 18, I loved the Lord. Like a young, Bible did say Joshua is a young man. But you remember that young is not that young. But I tell you, Bible still says he's young. He learned these two things. Firstly, he says, you want me to fight? I will fight. Oh, brother, that's not easy. Because easy to us is, you want me to fight? Shizujina, let's think. I wish I'm a surgeon. I can open up your scalp to push around a certain nerve so your decision can be more clear. Do you realize? Without that absolute commitment, Lord, if this is what you want, I will go. I tell you, no way you can ever follow the Lord. If you want to follow the Lord as a soldier, the first thing you do is, you want me to send me to the front, I will go. This is how, chapter 17, right? Chapter 17 come into being, right? Chapter 17, here, the Israelites came to a place called a rest. 17 verse 1, all the congregation, that means Israelites of children of Israel, journey from wilderness of Sin, after their journey, according to the command of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. What does Rephidim mean? It means rest. Okay, we were in wilderness, right? We're in wilderness. Now, we finally pitch our tent in a place that called rest. We were there, now we are having a place we can rest. When you say you can rest, that is very much like a brother declared, I was in the wilderness, I was in the world, or even some may say, young people better not say that, but I was in sin, I was in all kind of things, frustrating my following of Christ. Then, for some reason, by Lord's mercy, one day I come to Rephidim. All of a sudden I realize, oh, I can find rest here. Do you have that experience? Do you have that? You tried in the world. I think, young girl, you love music, you sing so well. You must know how to sing with many, many great singers, right? You know their melody, you know the word, but you just realize there's no rest, right? Many Chinese pursue degrees, one degree after another. Eventually, they become professional student. I realize there's one Chinese in Paris. He got 8 PhDs in different fields. He's a professional PhD pursuer. But anyway, you try this, you try that, try this, try that. Either not so good or very good. But one thing, you have no rest. Until one day, you touch the Lord. You meet the Lord. You enjoy the Lord. You realize the sweetness of the Lord. Then you say, Lord, I found remedy. I'm rested. It's so good. Why finally come out of wilderness of sin. Now, I come to a place, Rephidim, which means rest. I come to pitch the tent in the place I can have real, genuine rest. And I tell you, brother, interesting part is this. When you are so restful, number one, you don't have adequate water. Do you get my point? So Israelites cried. Then when Israelites cried, verse 6, behold, I will stand before there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall be water out of it. So God will say, oh, remember, who is the rock today? Jesus. Now, you come to a place of rest. you pitch a tent for rest. But until you know how to drink richly from the riches of Christ, you will not have real rest. The water come out of the cross of Jesus. When Jesus was broken, life supply comes out. You must hide in the death of Jesus. Enjoy the death of Jesus, realizing Jesus supply you with all the riches. I tell you, so what? Water came out. But I tell you something interesting. When water came out, when blessing come, when people finally say, we have the reality of rest, you know what's happened? Amalek come in. You know, this I consider, who are these peculiar people? Amalek. You know, at that time, every king owns a city, a city kingdom, right? So Amalek got to be a king of the city kingdom, right? He must have a city, what, people, population. And Israelites is a nation, right? Only the men have 600,000. But Amalek look at Israelites, wow, you got water. I like to come to take it over because we need water. Do you get my point or not? I'm like Apostle realized, to really destroy Israelites, they don't have the strength. But he realized we can take over their life supply, enjoy their fruit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I tell you, huh? You nod your head. But let me tell you, young girls, young boys, you don't understand. You know, here Amalek talk about flesh. But what they're fighting for was not flesh, was the flesh seeking after the blessing of God. That water was from God, right? Moses smacked the rock, right? The rock broken, the water come out. So they come after this. Oh, brother, if you let me say this. Once you love the Lord, once you have a little blessing, all kind of Amaleks try to come in to do what? To take you over. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Oh, I want to say this to you. I minister to large congregations. I minister to small congregations. I minister to thousands of people. I minister to 15, 20. To me, it's the same. They're all God's children. Am I right? I never have a thought. After I come, I minister, I'll conquer, I'll take you over. Do you get my point? But there are so many, I say a word, Paul called them dogs. There are so many religious dogs ready to take over whatever the blessing the Lord has given to you. I tell you, it could be you too. You understand what I'm talking about? Young girl, I remember I asked you a few times already, right? You seem very well, right? Well, don't lie. You seem very well, right? Isn't that the blessing of the Lord? And when you sing that for the sins, to bring the sins into the Lord's presence, that even richer. Do you get my point? Don't sing a song for sin's enjoyment, because we're not entertainment center. But if you can sing a song, people listen to your singing, begin to touch the Lord. Oh, it's really something. Am I right? So you begin to sing a song, and you sing so well. And the brothers begin to touch the Lord. And quickly, you know, beside your spirit, you're little, right? Your little body, there's an Amalek. Quickly, the Amalek will come out. We need it. You know what I'm afraid the most? When Cleveland had the Jubilee at a certain night, one day, one brother told me, we were so blessed. Hallelujah. We don't know how many people will come. Oh, I realized. No. I heard, I smell a little bit of Amalek. When the young brothers, sorry, oh, young co-workers, sorry. I love you all, please. Just look at my face. I'm not mad, right? Look, mountain top. Praise Lord. First time, what, 700? I don't know how many. Huh? Second time, 900 or 1,000. Then one brother told me, Brother Titus, we don't know how many will come in the third time. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. That's not Joshua. You know, after Joshua killed Amalekites, there's a book written only for Joshua. Remember Amalekites. Do you get my point or not? It's too easy for us to entertain any blessing Lord gave to us. Oh, it's hard to be God. I'm so thankful I'm not. But when you are young, you like to be God. So you make decision for God. Then tell God, God is your leading. Jesus, am I right? When you're young, you try to be God. When you're old, you realize, don't work in that way. It doesn't work. But anyway, you try to, we got the water, praise the Lord. And quickly, another source come in to take over the place of God himself. This well is God's well. This rock is Christ. The river is a supply of Christ in the spirit. Am I right? But eventually, Amalek come in. I think they come in, try to occupy that water as a source. Because as long as there's water, then there's a chance to build up another city in their name. So quickly, they come in, and now Joshua was in the front to fight. Oh, brother. I like to ask brothers, you know, how many are with you? Because I'm concerned. And I love the church. I like to know, to hear the good reports. And then at the same time, every time I ask, I'm getting nervous. You know why? Either we fabricate numbers, or there's nothing to fabricate, so we are really blessed. So we say, ha, tell you, brother, it's Lord's mercy. It's all Lord's mercy. I can assure you, 100% Lord's mercy. I can assure you, with all Lord's mercy, we'll never make it today. I know that. I say, I'm like speaking. Do you get my point or not? You get my point? Something come up now. Try to replace the work of the Spirit. So Moses, as a spiritual man, realized, Amalek come, and let's fight with Amalek. So he told Joshua, and this is an interesting part. Huh? Now we come verse 9, verse 8. Then came Amalek, which typifies the flesh, and fought with Israel in Rephidim, because now there's water source, right? Or there's a blessing of the Lord. So and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fought with Amalek. Amalek means warlike. Like to fight. And everyone's Amalek. Mandy, I tell you, everyone enjoy your singing, not me. Then quickly Mandy said, what do you mean by that? I never ask you to appreciate. I don't care. I never sing for you, you stupid. Get out of here. All of a sudden, you get my point or not? Then I fight back, right? But I'm in the meeting, and you are in the singing. You're wasting my life. Then said, but I waste your life? Many brothers enjoyed it. What do you mean I waste your life? You see, the old and young begin to get into argument. You really enjoy the singing. Some older ones there have to pay a little price for your enjoyment. You say, okay, we don't sing anymore. Then we have no future. Do you get my point or not? We can't just tell the older ones what you like, we do for you. We have to say, we are fighting together for the Lord's testimony, right? So eventually, the warlike Amalek come, try to fight. And Moses told Joshua, what? Say, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. Then what? You go pick up the strong young men. Who are you? You are in Cleveland or in Buffalo? You're in Cleveland. So Cleveland, Rex is a young Joshua. Pick up 12, 15, how many young men fight. Do you get my point? And Jeff Brown is Joshua in Buffalo and pick up some young men. In other words, go form this army. You have it already. I believe the commitment was given to him for the army way before. But now's the time. Get the people out and go out and fight tomorrow. I tell you, you will fight. You will fight, but I will do the job. That's the most interesting fight you could ever see. No. And so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It's interesting, huh? One group of people go to fight. Moses, the real spiritual man, pick up his two big helper. One's Aaron, one's Hur, right? One's from Levi, one's from Judah. Pick up these two with together, right, to the mountain of the hill and come to pass. When Joshua tried very hard and win the victory, Moses on the mountaintop praising God. Am I right? What did your Bible say? Yeah, what did your Bible say? Verse 11. And came to pass when?
When Moses lifted up his hand, Israel prevailed.
What kind of version is that? I have a Titus version. Titus version says, when Joshua fight very hard, they gain the victory. Could you read your version? No, when Titus fight very hard. Oh, when Joshua fight very hard. Then, what? Then the Israelites, Israel prevail. Let me ask you all. Young brother, is your dad here? He's here? Oh, I like to see him. I miss him so much. But anyway, young brother, isn't that interesting? He formed my army. This is the first lesson he learned, right? He committed to the Lord. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to fight with no fear. Do you get my point? Shizujina. No fear. I'm ready. And go and fight, right? I go and fight. Then when Moses held up his hand, then Joshua prevailed. And when he laid down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Who's doing the fighting? Who's in the battlefield? Joshua. Who's doing the fighting? Moses. Listen, I tell you all, this first lesson, every serving one got to learn. If you don't learn this lesson, you can never serve right. I see some brothers, some of you brothers, so there's no criticism. Feel free to do whatever you like to do. Try one way, try another way, try third way, try fourth way. I appreciate it, because at least it shows how desperate you are. But realize, the first lesson you got to learn is that I got to fight. But I do depend and rely on my fight. I must fight. But the victory comes from Moses' prayer. When Moses and Aaron and Hur, right? When Moses lifted up his hand, for some reason, all the Amalek surrendered. They just chopped their head. When Moses' head come up, then for some reason, Israel surrendered. They just ran away. So Moses have to run up, lift up his hand all the time so Joshua can win. Hey, do you realize? When you begin to serve the Lord, the first thing you learn is that how incapable you are and how capable the Lord is. Amen. You always see that. When Moses lift up his hand, then Israelites win. None here, huh? But, verse 12, but Moses' hand were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. A stone. You can say typifies Christ. A stone, yours can say, typifies the testimony of Christ. Because we all are living stones, built up a spiritual house. So eventually, Moses, the one doing real fighting, not Joshua, right? Joshua's job is to chop the head. Moses' job is pray. When Moses lift up his head, all the Amalekites just kick their neck out, cut it. That's Joshua's fight. Oh, you laugh. But didn't you see Lord's blessing like this? When I first got saved, I don't even love the Lord. I preach gospel. As long as I preach, people got saved. In my class, I got 6, 7 saved, including me 7. So 6 saved in my class. Isn't that marvelous? Then when I began revived, began to love the Lord, we began to preach gospel. 100 saved in that high school in just 2 months' time. Around 60 some baptized into the Lord in that 2 months' time. Could you believe how much the Lord is doing? How marvelous that is. Do you get my point? I say it's right. When Joshua come with sword, all of a sudden, all the Amalek were stand on the line, stick their head off, cut it. So Moses, Joshua, and win the victory. But sometimes Moses get tired. When Moses' hand is up, Joshua's, the Israelites' leg become long. They turn their back, run real fast for their life. Then Moses lift up their head again. Joshua look back. Oh, they stand on line again, stick out their head. So they go, cha, cha, cha. That is your first spiritual battle. You won the battle, and you don't know how you make it. You just wonder, how come people save so easy? How come people love the Lord so easy? How come the recovery come out so easy? How come there's a revival? How come the Lord is doing that much? Because they're mature ones in the church life. Lift up their head, not by one, but their groups, with the support of Christ and with the support of the whole church life. You know, I see young people like to work out the campus. Church must stand with young people so that when they go out, all the people's heart are ready to receive the Lord. And but you got to remember that. You got to remember that. When someone receives the Lord, you got to say, it's not me. It's a church. Prayed for it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? When a revival comes, you got to say, it's not me. It's a church brought in to the it's a church brought in this revival. I tell you, this is really marvelous. Eventually, when the stone was here, and Aaron and Hur stayed up, his hand, in other words, they hold his hand. So, you know what I mean? So hand can always be lifted up. Then others on one on this side, one on the other side, and his head was steady until the going down of the sun. In other words, whatever a victory he can make, he made it in full until done. Do you get my point? It's not one incident. It's a real victory, a total victory, totally to the satisfaction of the Lord. Oh, this is marvelous. Then, and 13. And Moses defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of their prayer. No, Moses. Well, be fair, who did the job? Be fair, who did the job? But Joshua's job was either with a long leg, run real fast, escape for his life, or when the other people were standing there, stick out the net, they just go cut, cut, cut like that. Who did the job? I tell you, the Bible is very interesting, right? Young people go out. Young people go to campus. Young people preach gospel. Young people go to new places, raise up new churches, and have all the prevailingness through what? Through the support of the older ones, mature ones, through their prayer, through their whole church, standing with you. But God will still say, young people made it. Isn't that marvelous? I don't like this verse because I'm old. I like to read it in this way. And Moses discomfited, in other words, defeated Amalek and his people with through the hand of Joshua with the edge of the sword. Isn't that more logical? Right? Who made it? Moses made it. Who did it? Joshua did it. Do you get my point? Without Moses, Joshua would run, possibly all the way back to Egypt. But anyway, Joshua, through the prayer of Moses, was able to be so well done. And the Bible says, and Joshua defeated Amalek. Remember that, huh? Every spiritual blessing in your initial stage comes from Christ and comes from the older ones. The older ones' intercession, the older ones' protection, the older ones standing with you for you to be in this victory, but steer your victory. Amen. Do you get my points or not? One day, one brother told me, say, Brother Tu, do you know how much prayer a spiritual brother is praying for you all the time? I was so shocked. You know, I was so shocked. This is the United States. He prayed for me. I thought I was in the front. You know, all my life I was in the front, right? I'm a 72-year-old Joshua. But all my life I was in the front. Even now I'm still in the front. I wish I don't have to, but there's no choice. I'm still in the front. But you know that? That made me very much realized. Brother, don't say we made it. Don't say we young people make it. But the Bible will say you young people make it. The fact is, the older brother made it. Eventually, who made it? Together we made it. It is Moses. It is Joshua. It is Moses' hands, prayer, with Aaron and her. It's Joshua's sword chopping the head. Right? The Bible did say that. He chopped, used the head, right? The Bible did say, he defeated Amalek and his people with edge of the sword. Looked like he brought a lot of people that one sold. Looked like other people said, he doesn't, all the guys were there watching. He doesn't move anymore. He think he said, oh, Joshua, go, cut. And there's another one, Joshua, go, cut. Cut the sword, right? It's only one sword. But, of course, in fact, it's collectively speaking. This sword is not Joshua's sword alone. Sword of Joshua and the people with Joshua. Then the Lord said, verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write these for a memorial in a book and rehearse it. Is there any translation different with rehearse? And recite. Recite. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Could you believe for Joshua you need to write a book? Do you get my point or not? Just read the verse. I read the verse to you again. Now, the logic is interesting. If I were the writer of the Bible, I'll write it in this way, right? And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in a book for generations or for Israelites to remember in the coming generations. That's logical. But the funny part is, seems God says, I don't care about the generations. And I don't even care about Israelites. I care if Joshua is right. You know Joshua, coming back, right? I think with drummers, it's all kind of things, come, come, come. And Joshua was marching. My feet's not so good. But anyway, Joshua was marching. Then Moses said, Joshua, quiet down, quiet down, quiet down. There's a book the Lord has told me to write and rehearse it to you, recite to you. In other words, you must remember it, huh? You did the fighting. I did the fighting. You only did the cutting. Do you get my point or not? You seeking the victory? No, I win the victory. Who is to be honored? Moses. Today, spiritually speaking, who is to be honored? Christ. The heavenly Christ raised up his hand for us to be in victory. Amen. Now, you got to remember this lesson. The lesson is, we need you. We need you. And we must have you. But remember, in your whole life, all your victories, all your overcoming experiences, all your experience in Christ, all the life supplying, all the life dispensing, all the serving, all your fruit of your labor, the source are all from this Christ in the heavens prayed for you. If not, you can't do a thing. Oh, brother, I like to say this. If you ask me, Titus, do you have Amalek? I say, I'm very happy. There's a book written, and I got to recite. If without Moses lift up his hand, I will only have a long leg run all the way to Egypt. It is Moses lift up his hand, my sword becomes sharp to chop the head. Praise God. So without me, the head doesn't fall off. With me, that's all what I can do. You understand what I'm talking? I can't do much. Who did everything? Christ did everything. Amen. Oh, that should be something you remember all your life. Amen. All your life. That, this become the first lesson Joshua learned, right? Write a book, memorial in a book, and recite it in the years of Joshua, and I will utterly put out remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. In other words, now the outward Amalek is gone, but the inward Amalek is always there. Do you get my point? Outwardly, you can chop your enemy and it's over. But within you, there's a big Amalek. You know, brother, without Lord's blessing, you do not know how much you need the Lord. With the Lord's blessing, you are desperate to kneel down to pray before the Lord because you know you cannot handle it. What is the danger? The danger of the serving ones, I have a program. Not the heavenly Christ pray for you, but the good program carries you. Brother, remember that. It may work, but the value is very high. I learned the biggest lesson in my life through my visiting these years in mainland China, realizing a brother was martyred in 1972. For 30 years, nobody cared for them, no one nurtured them, no one feed them, yet that 60,000 sins become 66 to 8 million of the sins. Then I realized, brother, if we still want to brag anything, isn't that a shameful thing? Yeah. You look at how the Lord is doing. And actually, when I go to talk with his brothers, there are some of the brothers in different local churches, in the different places. Some are so pure. You cannot believe his fellowship with so many churches. He's just a simple brother. And he doesn't know much. On that part, it's interesting. He doesn't know much. The truth they have is very basic, but very fruitful. And they're strong. We take the local church way. We take the way of Lord's testimony. We don't try to figure out this and that. They are, maybe I tell you my, no need. But anyway, when I see these things within me, number one, Lord, if you don't bless, we labor in vain. If you bless, Lord, have mercy, that we do not take away the honor. Do you get my point or not? I'm very happy. I tell you, brother, this is one of the happiest things. Not many people love me. I know some brothers say, we love you. But compared with all the people I raised up, compared with all the churches I served, compared with all the sins I ministered, I tell you, I sometimes ask myself, do I stink or something? Why people don't love me? But on the other hand, I'm very thankful because so few people love me, that memory is always there. That book is always there. Amalek got to go. Amalek got to go. It's too easy for you to exalt a man. Too easy for you to exalt a practice. Too easy for you to exalt some truths. In turn, they become Christ. Replace Christ. The Amalek all come out. All the Amalek come out. All the flesh come out. So, I tell you all, it's marvelous. Joshua did win the victory. Actually, he didn't do much, right? As I portrayed to you. But eventually, there's a book that says, in your whole life, remember, you not only have Amalek outside, you have Amalek that is your flesh. Your flesh would always try to rise up, and capture the honor the Lord deserves. Do you get my point? Try to do something. Then, verse 15. So Moses built an altar and called the name of Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi means what? Jehovah is my banner. Yeah. Now, after the whole victory is won, right? They raise up that. Jehovah! Jehovah! Do you get my point? Could you see that? He built an altar, right? Built what a banner? Jehovah. These days, if you go to TV, you see all the banners, right? Now, Democratic Convention. In the convention, you see what? Banners. All kind of banners. In Olympic, what you see? Banners. Do you get my point? Banners. All kind of banners. But there's one day. Now, you begin your real journey. You begin really fast. The Lord, you begin to really pursue Christ. The Lord has supplied you with water. The Lord has brought you through the victory. Now you build an altar. There's a lot of banner words. Jehovah! Jehovah! Jehovah is my banner! In other words, from now on, I will have no more topics. My topics is only Jehovah. Amen. Do you remember Samson wrote a song? Jesus only is my topic. I have nothing else but Jesus Christ alone. Oh, do you see that picture? Suppose we all raise up a banner. Jesus! Isn't that exciting? Isn't that encouraging? Everyone raise up a banner. Jesus! We don't care right or wrong. We don't care what we do. We love Jesus! We honor Jesus! We exalt Jesus! Oh, how marvelous that is. So there's altar. When you exalt his name, there's a consecration. My life from now on is for no one but Jehovah. That's for Israelites. For us, our life from now on is for no one but Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jehovah, is the banner. So they build the altar. For he said, because the Lord has us, no need. Amen. Brother, I did pretty good. Do you want me to continue? I better not. So tonight, we say, he has a good beginning, isn't it? He sees something heavenly. And he fought very faithful to what he did. And God showed him he didn't do a thing. You only chop the head when the neck stick out. That's about it. So remember, never let your flesh come in. But finally, praise the Lord, you see what was so glorious. They exalt the name of Jesus, and they all consecrate themselves to this person. May Lord bless us. I think I'll just stop here, and we will continue to see his learning tonight. Amen.